Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Anisha Marcel Keel, and we're going to be talking about her new book, Discovering the Healer Within. While many people are familiar with psychic mediums, few know about healing mediums who teach you how to clear illnesses and ailments in a non-invasive, peaceful way. Anisha Keel guides you on a journey to awaken powerful healing abilities within yourself through her remarkable life stories and client sessions. Learn about clearing karmic imprints, communicating with loved ones in spirit, aligning with your soul path, and much more. You have the ability to heal yourself. Anisha's experiences and insights will show you how to heal your soul, embrace love, and live your life purpose. Anisha is founder of the Soul-Centered Healing Method and creator of Soul-Centered Healing, LLC, a spiritual healing center. Her book, Discovering the Medium Within, was a gold medal winner in the 2013 Living Now Book Awards and a 2015 Indie Spiritual Book Award winner. You can find out more about Anisha by visiting her website, which is anishakeel.com, and that's anishakeel.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Anisha to the show. Good day.
Thank you, Robert. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this discussion. I think it's the ability to heal one's self, I think, is something that just so many people really don't recognize or just, really don't know much about. So I'm really looking forward to you sharing your information with the listeners. So first of all, let's start off with that you are a healing medium. And as I mentioned in the introduction, not many people may be familiar with what that is. So can you describe what that is? And then how and when was it that you discovered you had this ability?
Sure. Well, a healing medium is a little different from a reading medium. A reading medium is someone that you would go to and you'd sit across from them and they would read your energy and pick up on the frequencies of any family members or loved ones in spirit that are connected to you and be able to relay information from them. I do that, but I also do healing work in my sessions with clients. So when my clients come for a session, it's kind of like they have this invisible book in their energy with everything that's imprinted that's happened to them. And we're going through the pages of that book together. We're taking out the pages that they're no longer reading, that don't serve them anymore. We're leaving the pages that they're still reading, that they need, the ideas and concepts and experiences in their energy. And then we're bringing new energy in to balance out what we've taken out. So it's kind of like a little bit of some energetic balancing and aligning. And then also we relay any information from those in spirit that's pertinent to the client's healing in the session. So it's, okay. There is a reading that's involved, but it's also connected to the healing of the individual.
Okay, so now is this energetic? I mean, sometimes people talk about the spiritual, etherical, emotional, all these types of influences. So is this the pages? Do they cover the full spectrum of those, of emotional or spiritual or physical?
Yes, we're clearing all the layers of the aura, the physical, the emotional, spiritual, and mental layers.
Okay, so now when you say that you take out pages. To me, I've never heard it described like that. You know, I mean, that's just, that's a new visual for me, you know, to comprehend. So now, when taking out those pages, how does that impact, like the other, like when you're thinking about you're reading a book in a chapter, and you take out a page in that chapter, then it seems that, you know, if you, you know, without that page, there may be a lack of continuity. So how does the removal
affect them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, it's a little bit of a different book. This is a book that the client is constantly writing. So in this situation, these are pages that they've learned the lessons from and they no longer need, okay? So, for example, a client may have had an abusive experience in their past, and that abusive experience may have dictated a lot of the relationship choices that they had in the future. So maybe they didn't trust anybody or you know, they were fearful of everybody that they met because they thought they might get hurt by that person. So that's an idea and an experience that we need to let go. Perhaps it's stored in the mental layer of the aura. Perhaps it's also imprinted in the emotional layer of the aura. But those kind of things are the things that people are ready to release. When they release those experiences, they live differently, because they no longer have the fears attached to meeting new people. They no longer have those trust issues because they're addressing the root cause and they're clearing them.
Okay. Hmm. So now when you actually get, you know, this removal, how do you remove them? I mean, what kind of process do you use to help remove them?
It's all, energy is everything. In the session, energy is everything. But even in us, energy is everything. All the things that are stored there energetically. So everything that's happened to you in your life is imprinted in your energetic field. Good, bad, indifferent. It's all there. So we aren't just releasing by raising the client's frequency or energetic vibration to a higher frequency. We're clearing that imprint. They no longer need that, and now they're vibrating at a higher rate.
Okay, okay. And when that imprint is removed, is it replaced with a like a positive alternative, you know, something to replace it?
Well, basically, we're just shifting their energy to a higher frequency. So that is no longer needed. And we do put basically some additional energy where we took that out of. A higher vibrational frequency gets replaced there. So at the end, the client, you know, we're taking out, there's no like holes in the energy of what we're working on. But at the end, the client is vibrating at a higher rate. Another example is sometimes people will be raised with certain belief systems that kind of dictate the way they should live their life. For example, perhaps a young woman may have grown up in a family where she was raised to believe that by 30 she had to be married and have children and not really have a career. And perhaps now she's 40 and that's not what her life is like. Maybe she's a career person and she's not married, right? So these belief systems are stored up in the brain because these are imprinted there from childhood. This is what she was raised with. In the emotional layer of the aura, you know, that's around the physical layer, and then above that is the mental layer of the aura, where her actual reality is stored. So now her belief system stored in the brain don't match her reality. So what happens is that the energy from the brain cannot go up to the reality in the mental layer. It gets stuck in the emotional layer of the aura. Hence, she manifests emotional response to that, which can be sadness, perhaps depression, you know, depending how long that energy is sitting there. When we upgrade her thought forms to match her mental layer of the aura, which is her reality, her actual reality, we clear the emotional layer.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. one of the things you talk about is energetic cords. You know,
mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and can you talk a little bit about what those are? And are those part of some of the clearing that would need to be done?
Sometimes, yes. So we form energetic cords with people and sometimes places every day. So you may have an energetic cord to your spouse or your child, your best friend, some people that you work with. The problem with energetic cords is that we don't always pay attention to who we have cords with, and after the relationships are done, there's still a cord. Hence, there's a pull on your energy, a draw off of your energy to that person. So an example of that would be maybe you have a friend that's suffering with an illness and you're very worried about them. Just your thoughts create a cord between the two of you. So now after you're talking to your friend, you're going home and you're still thinking about them and you're still upset about them because the cord is there and your energy is still being sent to that person. So imagine if that's just one person, right? What if you have about 30 or 40 of them? Think of the draw off your energy that's going out to all these other people instead of being sent to you internally, right?
Yeah.
So when we cut cords, you know, when we cut cords, we pull the cords in, we pull everything out by the root, we send it to the light, and then we conserve our resources for ourselves. Now, as parents, we always have cords to our children and the people in our immediate family. It's the other relationships that you have to really monitor. Friends, work colleagues, people that sometimes can energetically drain you, distant relatives, that type of thing. Those are the relationships that you really need to keep a handle on the cords for.
Okay. And so, yeah, I can understand, you know, with family, I mean, it can be a challenge sometimes, you know, with those cords.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So now, and there was something that I hadn't heard before that was also mentioned, and that is an energetic anchor point. So what is an anchor point, and how does that differ from a cord?
Good point. I'm glad you brought that up because it's something that a lot of people don't know about, but it's really important. So, you know, we just went over what the cords are. Anchor points are a little bit deeper. They're actually stuck in the aura. It's an attached basic draw off your energy constantly from another person. So sometimes, you know, when you have a friend in distress and they're calling you all the time and you're assisting them with advice, you know, maybe they're going through some kind of emotional problem and you're talking to them every day, that person is now having an anchor point in your aura. And they're pulling from your energy, whether it be the emotional, the mental, whatever layer it's embedded in. And sometimes, you know, you feel guilty, so you always respond to them. You always give them your time and energy. But that is a constant draw. And it's like a, instead of it being like a trickling faucet, it's like a giant stream of your energy constantly going to that other person. And because it may be someone that you talk to regularly, you don't even realize how much of your energy is actually being sent to that person. So I always tell people to analyze the relationships you have in your life and look at the ones where you are connected to the people every day. Is there a relationship other than like a spouse or children where you're calling the person every day, multiple times a day? Chances are you have an anchor point with that person, right? So those are energetic points that are much deeper in our layer of aura, and they've generally been there for a while, so we've become accustomed to having that energy drained off us, but it's also a larger, it's like a fire hose of energy constantly being pulled away from you as opposed to maybe a thread or a small cord.
Yeah. So with in that particular instance, it would seem then since it's a much deeper connection, you know, and in the reality of, you know, if it's somebody you're talking to quite frequently, then in order to release that anchor or to, you know, to shed yourself of that anchor. I mean, it seems like it would take some major behavioral changes in order to turn off that spigot.
And awareness. First of all, awareness that you're actually giving that person too much of your energy. And then secondly, making some conscious choices to set limits with that person, right?
Yeah.
I wrote an article about that not too long ago, and that comes up sometimes in client sessions where we can see that there's this anchor point and I can see who it's going to, you know, sort of the terminating point. And when I call it to the client's attention, you know, the client generally, I've never had a client say, yes, I want to keep the anchor point in. You know, they always say, yes, I choose to set this free, you know, and pull back my energy for myself. And every time, it never fails. The person that's receiving the energy always contacts that person from the session, because even though they're not aware of what happened in the session, they can feel the change in the energy. They can perceive it. So it's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it does. That kind of enters that quantum realm of, you know, when there's the shifts. You don't have to have direct communication in order to feel the shift happen.
Yeah, exactly. And they definitely can feel it. I had one guy, as we were doing it in the session, and we were talking about it. We happened to just look at the clock. You know, it was like right across from us. When we came out of the session, he had a text message from that person at the moment that we pulled the cord out, the anchor point out in the session. We couldn't believe it. So they definitely can perceive it on an energetic level.
Now, when that happens, is the person who is that anchor point? I mean, is there? Mm-hmm. I mean, because what you're talking about is really kind of shifting the energy. I mean, you're cutting off that flow of energy or
yeah.
anything, maybe. So because it seems like that person is getting, obviously they're getting energized from you, getting energy from you.
Right.
So is there a recognition or like a, maybe even a resentment at the recognition of this energy shift?
You know, I'm not sure. I just know that they can perceive it. They can perceive a change, and they do reach out to that person. But one of the things that makes the anchor point a problem is that the host person that's sort of providing the energy to the other person, they have allowed that. You know, they consciously allowed that, you know. So I don't know that the person who is pulling off that energy, the one who's got the terminating side of the anchor point, I don't even know if they're aware that they're doing it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I don't know if they would be resentful or anything like that. I just know that they can feel a shift in the energy, and they do usually reach out to check in with that person.
Okay. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. So now your book is called Discovering the Healer Within. So obviously we have this innate healing ability. What do you, first of all, in what areas do we have this ability? You know, I mean, you know, for the listeners, you know, you want to be clear about medical healing versus emotional healing versus spiritual healing. So can you kind of talk about exactly, you know, what that healing ability can affect for us?
Sure. Well, we always recommend people to see a medical doctor because there's no alternative that can replace medical treatment, right? So that's even in the alternative healing field, nothing negates medical procedures. You still have to look into that. But what we're looking at is less of what's manifesting and more about why it's manifesting. So you can have two people that have the same exact form of breast cancer, but the reasons why they have manifested that could be totally different. They may have the genetic markers to manifest that condition, but they have had different situations in their lives that have brought that condition out. And what we work through is the reasons why that has manifested and clearing those things at the root. And when they clear those things at the root, then they can heal themselves completely and prevent further occurrences of the illness coming back.
Yeah, it's kind of like going to the root of the cause rather than dealing with a symptom.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Now, why do you think we maybe have lost the recognition of this ability? It's obviously it's there, you know, and it's ready to be discovered or rediscovered. So, you know, what are some of the reasons you think that we maybe have just not realized that it was there, you know, or just why it's hidden from us?
Well, I think in general, the more psychically aware you are, the higher your energy is vibrating, the higher frequency you're at. I think a lot of people on the earth right now are vibrating at a little bit of a lower rate. They've become very earthbound, and they've lost their connection to their spiritual side, their soul side. A lot of people are very here and now on the earth plane. And so for them to go within and look at root causes and look at things that have happened, they're not that introspective. They're not going there. So they need to be shown how to get back to that place. They need to be shown, yes, you are a person living on the earth, but you also have a soul in you, and you have to acknowledge that part of yourself. And you have to acknowledge that you have these abilities and these tools available to you to help make life easier on this earth. A lot of people have forgotten that concept.
Okay. So as we open up to the recognition of that, then does that then, you know, foster the healing, or what, you know, what is it that we can do to help, you know, help us along the way? I mean, once we've got the awareness, you know, that this is this is an ability, this is something that we can do. What can we do then to strengthen that ability?
Sure, to foster that. It starts with the awareness, and then that awareness becomes part of your lifestyle. You start integrating that awareness into your everyday life. So perhaps you're meditating once a day, or you're going outside and grounding yourself every day. Instead of thinking about all the things that are stressing you out and pulling all your energy up to your head, you're pulling your energy down to your feet and becoming very present about everything happening in your life. That's awareness. That's living your awareness. So it's little exercises every day that people can do to bring themselves into awareness, connecting with their soul, connecting with themselves on a deeper level internally. That's what we're trying to do with the book.
Okay, great. I do want to let listeners know that if you would like to call in and ask Anisha any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to those. Now, we're going to take just a quick break, Anisha, and then when we come back, I know that your book offers some exercises and things for people to help with that discovery. So when we come back, maybe you can share with the listeners an exercise or two to give them a good idea of what the book has, okay?
Great.
Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Nisha Marcel Keel, and we're talking about her new book, Discovering the Healer Within. And if you want to discover your healer, then definitely pick up a copy of her book. Also, you can find out more about Nisha by visiting her website, which is nishakeel.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back. Nisha?
Okay.
Great.
Robert, is it okay if we do one of the exercises?
Absolutely. I'm all set. I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Well, one of the exercises I wanted to cover is from the book. It's from the beginning of the book, and it's just a basic balancing of the chakras. So the chakras are the energy centers in the body. We do have them all over our body, but we're working with the primary seven that align on the hairline from the top of the head through the base of the spine. And when we do this chakra alignment, we work from the top down because that's a very relaxing way to pull all the energy down and ground. If you're a person that's struggling and a little upset and maybe dealing with some depression, you may want to align your chakras from the root up to the crown, because that pulls the energy upward. It's a little more revitalizing. But in general, if we're doing a chakra alignment every day, we want it to be very relaxing, so we work from the crown down to the root. So the chakras are the energy centers in the body. They do govern the energy in the areas where they're located, but they also have some metaphysical attributes as well. So we're going to start at the top of the head. And we're just going to place our hands at the top of the head, right over your crown. The color of this chakra is pearly white. The governing area is the pineal gland and the brain. And the attributes, it's the center for spirituality and our connection to the divine source. So you're just going to feel the energy under your palms, right at the top of your head. And you can use both hands or you can just use one. And you're going to send the energy downward right to the top of your forehead, to your third eye. The third eye or brow chakra is located at the center of the forehead. The color is a deep indigo. The governing area is the pituitary gland, physical eyes, and it is the center for clairvoyance. The attributes, it is our ability to see things clearly, which means seeing through illusions, to see the truth in things. And that is both physically and psychically. So you're going to have one hand at the top of your head and the other at your brow chakra, and just send the energy from your crown to your brow. And when you feel the energy under the brow chakra, under that palm, spinning nicely, you can move the hand from the top of your head and place it gently in front of your throat. The throat chakra is in the center of the throat. The color is crystal blue. The governing area is the throat, the nose, ears, sinuses, and thyroid gland. The attributes It is the center for physical communication, speaking up for ourselves, and speaking our truth. It houses three psychic senses, so I often refer to this chakra as the psychic powerhouse. It holds our telepathic or clairaudient communication ability, clairgustience, the ability to taste things from spirit, and clairscent, or also known as clairalience, the ability to smell things from spirit. So keeping one hand on your brow chakra in the center of your forehead, you're going to place the other one right there over the throat chakra and send the energy down from your brow to your throat and feel the energy in the throat pulsating under that palm. It may feel a little bit warm to you. And when you feel the energy balance there, you can move your hand off of your brow and place it right over the center of your chest. This is the heart chakra. It is located directly in the center of the chest. The color is emerald green. The governing area is the heart, immune system, the thymus gland, and the upper lobes of the lungs. The attributes, it's the center of compassion and unconditional love for ourselves and others. So send the energy from the throat chakra to the heart chakra and feel the energy right in the center of your chest under that palm. Feel it spinning. And when you feel it there, you can move your hand from your throat and place it right where your ribcage splits in the center at the solar plexus. The solar plexus color is yellow. The governing area is the upper digestive tract, stomach, liver, gallbladder, pancreas, and spleen, the skin, the nerves, and the lower lobes of the lungs. It is our sense of personal identity and power. Send the energy from your heart chakra to your solar plexus and leave your hand there over the solar plexus till you feel the energy balanced and spinning under your palm. And next, you're going to take the hand from the heart chakra and place it just below your navel. This is the sacral chakra. The color is orange. The governing area are your sexual organs, the bladder, and upper intestines. This is our center for creative energy, as well as our main area for sexual energy and our emotions. It is also the center for our clairsentient abilities, which are the abilities to feel energy. Feel the energy in the sacral chakra balance and aligning. It may feel warm under your hand. And now you're going to place the hand that was over the solar plexus right at the base of your spine in the pelvic region over the root chakra. And you're going to send the energy from the sacral chakra down to the root chakra. The color of the root chakra is red. It governs the lower intestines, skeletal system, legs, and feet. The attributes are related to security, survival, and our connection to the earth. Feel the energy in the root chakra balancing and being pulled down from your entire body. You can place your second hand that was over the sacral chakra down to the root chakra. And now that you have both of your hands over the root chakra, you can send the energy from the root chakra down your legs, to your feet, and feel your energy deeply get pulled down to the earth. All the energy from your head, down the middle of your body, down to your feet. You are deeply rooted and grounded in the earth, and you are totally aligned. This exercise is an exercise that anyone can do, even if you're not attuned to any modality of healing. We all have hand chakras in the center of our palms that give us the ability to feel and sense energy. So as long as you use your hands, if you need them for the exercise, some people can do it just by scanning with their third eye. But as long as you use your hands, you can do this exercise every day. You should do it at least once a week to align yourself and also ground your energy deeply.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that was a very calming process.
Yeah, it's relaxing, isn't it?
Very, very much so. And you know, it seems that once you do that, I think it just leads to mental clarity and emotional clarity, and it makes you know, maybe some of the challenges you're going through less stressful.
Right. It just aligns everything. Exactly.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Again, that's one that's included in your book, and I'm sure there are many others that would help those discover their healing ability. So I want to talk just there are a couple topics. There are obviously a lot of topics in your book, but there's a couple of them that I kind of would like to maybe highlight, and maybe you can tell us how they connect with healing, or one's healing ability.
Sure.
One of them would be karmic imprints. Now, you know, we talked about those emotional attachments, you know, that we have and anchors. But what would karmic imprints be, and how are we able to heal those imprints? I mean, apparently they may be holding us back from living life fully.
Sure. Karmic imprints are imprints that we bring in from previous experiences. So, and I mean previous lifetimes. So, for example, I have one client that had a tremendous fear of fire. And she was a really, really good healer. She would facilitate very good healing sessions with her clients. But anytime she got near fire, even lighting candles, it would give her tremendous anxiety and she would want to run out of the room. That was less of a phobia. I mean, it was kind of a phobia, but when we did the healing, it was connected to a previous experience because she had done healing work in a previous experience and that didn't end so well for her. And her passing involved fire, okay? So that's an example of a karmic imprint that she brought in with her. She had had that issue with fire since childhood. So in the healing, when I was working on her, I could see that previous experience that was stored in the energy, and it was kind of like watching a movie. So what I said was, have you ever had dreams that involved fire or burning? And she had seen that experience in a dream state but didn't know what it was. So I relayed what I had seen, and it connected to her and resonated with her. And then we just let it go. We just cleared it and let it go. part of that was there's another level of that where we talk about the soul fragments, because that's part of integrating parts of the soul experience. So that's a deeper level of healing, and also forgiving everybody involved, because sometimes when those things don't go so well, you know, there's some issues with resentment and things like that that we carry with us, and we can carry it in other lifetimes too until we work it out. So it's a deeper type of healing.
Yeah, I had I had a friend in Las Vegas who had a young boy who I had taken him over to Caesar's Palace one time, and they were having like a special fire and ice, you know, show kind of thing. And when the fire happened, I mean, he lost it. I mean, it was just, I mean, it was obvious to me that there was something more going on. I mean, because there were other young children around who did the, you know, ooh-ah and, you know, maybe recoil a little bit. But our friend's child, I mean, we had to leave. I mean, he had pulled us away. I mean, there was absolute, utter terror with him when he saw that.
Yeah, and it probably triggered something from a previous experience.
Yeah, I'm sure. And when I asked his parents, because I told them about it, obviously, I asked them, and in this particular lifetime, he had had nothing. There was absolutely nothing that would have, you know, triggered that kind of response. So my thought at that point was like there had to have been some kind of, you know, past life, you know, occurrence that was triggered, you know, with that. So.
Absolutely.
So now, when we, in order to remove or eliminate the effects of these imprints, is it simply having the awareness that they're there and kind of like, well, they served a purpose for that time? Or, I mean, because it seems that, you know, if we're going to be carrying something over, that there may be a purpose to carry it over, or is there not?
Right.
Or is that okay?
Sometimes there is. A lot of times, people will get their own experience of a past life when they're ready to confront the same situation in this life. It'll be a very similar circumstance, and the past life will be brought to their awareness. So that's something that does happen with a lot of people. They can have their own past life transgressions that come up when their energy is ready to confront it. But yes, there is something to that. And when you're ready to confront it, it kind of pops up, and then you can clear it and have the awareness. But sometimes, as I mentioned when we were talking about this a few minutes ago, there's like a little soul fragmentation that's out there from that experience that we have to integrate. So when we have trauma, either in this life or previous experiences, depending on the level of the trauma, part of the soul splits and stays out there sometimes. So you can have that kind of experience, like if someone had a very traumatic childhood, they may block that part of their life out. But that part is, you know, that little injured child is still out there and never really integrated into the adult life. So part of that has to happen through a soul integration. Some other modalities of healing will call it a soul retrieval. But it's the same concept of bringing in parts of the soul to kind of unify them so that everything is aligned and one instead of little pieces here and there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I found the idea of soul fragmentation and retrieval. I mean, to me, that was a foreign concept, you know, for a long time, and it was hard to kind of wrap my head around the idea of that. But when you think about the energetic nature of the soul, you know, you can kind of recognize where, you know, part of it can be split off or separated, you know, from the main circuit, you know, and require, you know, some kind of, like you say, reintegration of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now, one other aspect that maybe you can talk about this is the idea of, you know, communicating with loved ones in spirit. That's obviously what mediums do.
Right.
is regarding healing. I mean, is the when I think of some of my ancestors, you know, I don't think I'd take advice from them, you know, even if they're from the other side, you know, and it's like, I rely on my guides and, you know, somebody who,
right.
you know, kind of, but, so, you know, when it comes to the healing, is this, does this, kind of come into play when possibly there's been maybe issues with loved ones who maybe have passed on that hadn't been resolved yet? When it comes to healing.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. So in the healing session, I leave the door open for whoever is connected to their healing. So they're not allowed to call people, and I don't call to specific spirits because I think that is karmically inappropriate for me to pull whoever, you know, I don't ever do that. So I leave the door open, and whoever shows up is connected to their healing. And that means that there's energy between that person in spirit and this person on my table in the session that has to clear. There could be trauma. There could have been a sudden passing and they have to clear something with each other. It could be that that person just needs to let the living person on earth know that they're okay, but there's something outstanding that's connected to their healing. Sometimes the person that's here on the earth plane is so heavy with grief that they can't move on. I've had a lot of clients that had very serious drug issues or were suicidal because they lost someone in spirit. And that person needs to come through to help the person that's here move on and let it go and get past that. So it depends. But, yes, there's always some kind of healing that takes place. With some of the clients that are that do healing work in different modalities, a lot of times their sessions do involve their spirit guides and less of their family members because they've almost transcended a little bit past what you're saying, like what you said, what you do with your guides. They've kind of transcended past the information. They've cleared everything they need to clear with their loved ones, and now they're receiving guidance for their journey. Maybe they're upgrading their birth blueprint or moving more down their soul path, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
It really just depends on the client.
Okay, great. Now, one of the things that I mentioned in the introduction is that you're the founder of the Soul Centered Healing Method. So can you tell us what that is and how it's unique to other methods out there?
Sure. The Soul Centered Healing Method was given to me with my guides because for those people on the call that are not familiar with my first book, I struggled being a medium. I was born that way. I could see spirits from the time I was a very young child. And I had incarnated into a family that was ridiculously Catholic.
So, I know that family. Really?
Super challenge. You know, super challenge. So for most of my life, I spent time trying to abandon my abilities and hide from my abilities. And when I had my son, Brayden, who is now 14, he had the same abilities as me. I found when he was 2, he could see spirits in the house and he could communicate with them. So it wasn't until I had Brayden that I actually embraced my abilities and because I didn't want him to grow up the way I grew up, feeling like a fish out of water. And then my daughter has the same abilities too. So that's kind of how it evolved. And then I had an issue with just doing readings because it just didn't feel right to me. It was never something that I felt that I should be doing. And I just constantly asked my guides to send me on the journey when I was ready. And then my hand chakras just opened up. And one of my cousins was teaching a Reiki class. And I didn't know anything about Reiki, but I went to take it. And she said, "You're just a natural healer. All this stuff is just like you're waking up to it, you know." And then I just kind of received the modality of healing from my guides. And the modality is constantly shifting depending on what I need to do for the client base. So initially it was aligning, and then it came to clearing all the imprints. And then we started working with upgrading, you know, align as people cleared all their imprints, then they were ready to align with their birth blueprint, what they really came here to do, their soul work, right? And then we started clearing deeper, you know, going to the Hall of Records and clearing, you know, some karmic things and things that had happened to them. They no longer needed these master lessons. They had overcome them. So it's very transformative work for the clients that are ready for it. And they're at all different levels. Some people are just leaking on their journey, and some people are really very advanced with their journey. Everybody's at a different place. And I just kind of help them in that process.
So the healing method then is tuned individually to the individual. So is this a process that simply you use, or something that you train others to use?
No, it's something that I was given by my guides, and I trained my son to do it, you know, because he can do it just naturally. It's very strange, but I'm not strange, you know. One of those things, like, oh, of course you know how to do this, but he's the only other person that does the exact same method. So it has different levels that I would include in a session depending on who the client is.
So
some people just need an energetic alignment. Some people are clearing their deepest imprints. Maybe they've manifested cancer, and this is like they need to really come to this crossroads and clear these imprints so they can move forward and align with the soul path. Other people have cleared most of the karma that they're here for, and now they're ready to do their soul work. So it really depends on where the person is on their journey.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, now, gosh, we're toward the end of the show here. So is there maybe any other information that you would like to share with the listeners that I haven't covered with you yet, or?
I will be starting my book tour next week, the book Discovering the Healer Within. It's produced by Llewellyn. It's published by Llewellyn Publications. It will be released on the 8th, which is next Tuesday, and that's in the U.S. It's released all over the country. And I start my book tour next week. And for more information on all the different cities that I will be visiting throughout the U.S., you can go to my website, www.anishakeel.com/events, and all of them are listed there. And I'll be traveling in the East Coast, North and Southern East Coast. I think I'm going right now, the furthest I'm going is to South Carolina. And then I will be doing the West Coast next spring. So I have that coming up.
Do you know where in South Carolina, by chance?
Yes, I will be in Greenville, South Carolina at Fiction Addiction. It's an independent bookstore down there in Greenville.
Well, I am actually staying nearby. I live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, but I'm actually staying up in the Spartanburg area, and which is sister city to Greenville. So I'm going to have to go to the website and check it out and see when you're there, and maybe come by and see you there.
Yeah, I think I'm there like October 2nd because I'm doing a bunch of Barnes & Noble stores and some independent bookstores in North Carolina at the same time. But I think I'm in Greenburg on the 2nd of October. I would love to meet you, Robert. Stop in.
That would be great. That would be great. Well, I'm going to check it out and also check out the cities where I know people and then let them know too. So we'll get people directed your way.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate you having me on this call today and discussing the book with your readers. It's a really wonderful thing. Thank you.
I appreciate that as well. So look forward to keeping in touch. Now, are you on social media as well for those who are?
I am. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook as well. So you can find me. Actually, they can go right through my homepage on my website, and it has my links to my social media there.
Perfect. That's great. Well, I'll be sure to connect with you there too. So, again, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it as well. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Anisha Marcel Keel. We've been talking about her soon-to-be-released next Tuesday book called Discovering the Healer Within. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is anishakeel.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.